insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. And inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْحَقُّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ
If you remember, we were discussing verse 109, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very important point, and that was that the Ahlul Kitab, the Christians, the Jews, the Zoroastrians, the Sabians, which the Holy Quran considers Ahlul Kitab, they, or some of them at least, would like to cause doubts in your minds. And they would want you to leave the religion after having known that that is the actual message of God and knowing that is the truth, yet they still don't want you to be on it. Why? Because for whatever reason, they don't want to join, and seeing that you have something good in you, they want to take it away from you. So that's something that we need to be careful of. Now, after saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this fact, tells us something about how to deal with these people. It says, فَعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. What are the Muslims supposed to do at that time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yet excuse and forbear until Allah issues His verdict or His edict. Many of the Mufassirin have mentioned that this verse was before the verses of jihad and fighting were revealed. So what they're basically saying is that, now if you remember at the beginning of Surah Baqarah, we mentioned that these, or the main part of these verses that are revealed in Surah Baqarah as part of Surah Baqarah, were revealed during the first year or so of the stay of the Prophet in Medina, in which at that time, we all know that there was no jihad or anything going on at that point. The Prophet was stabilizing his government in the city of Medina. And the Jews that lived around it, they were part of a truce was signed, for those who don't know. And therefore, there was no fighting going on. Now, during this time, the Christians and the Jews, they would come and they would start, you know, creating doubts that would cause problems for the Muslims. At that time, the verse is saying what you need to do is to excuse and forbear until Allah issues His edict, referring to the command that will come after this, and that is jihad. And that is to fight. Now, the Mufassirin have said that this verse has got a nasikh, which we talked about in verse 106 of Surah Baqarah, that sometimes Allah would be there first and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change that law. That's called nasakh. It seems like this verse would apply to all cases where we have a similar situation compared to that of the Prophet's situation when he entered Medina. And that is, you know, people and Muslims are living amongst the Christians and the Jews. The Muslims at that point, you know, like people living in European countries, in the United States, in Canada, in Mexico, in South America, all those countries, African countries that are populated mostly by Christians or Jews or the likes of that, we don't have the responsibility of jihad at this point. That's not what we're supposed to do. Now, there's a very extensive explanation about jihad and where jihad is going to be the responsibility of Muslims. Yes, there is such a responsibility, but there are conditions for that. What are the conditions? What's the philosophy behind it? That's not the topic of the discussion today. What I need to mention and emphasize, because I just mentioned, is that it is not such that this verse has completely been put aside to the extent that Muslims are supposed to be fighting all Christians and Jews. This is a wrong interpretation of Islam that exists amongst some of the, unfortunately, some of those claiming to be followers of this religion. However, they do not follow the teachings, the correct teachings of Islam. In order to understand Islam, we must take into consideration all the verses and all the reliable ahadith from the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. And as we will discuss in a verse to come, and also in the verses that have passed, we've had indications of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to have rationale and rational understanding, to have our intellects working and understanding. So we need to have that intellect as well. The combination of these give us what Islam says. Taking verses out of context and applying them, that is not what Islam is going to say. And according to the Holy Quran itself, inshallah, when the verses come, we will explain. So basically, for us who are living amongst the Christians and Jews, this is our responsibility. فَعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. And obviously, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. When he has his edict, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes way for us to make a different move, he will be able to do that, and he is going to be having power over all things. And he does have power over all things. This was verse 109, and we need to mention that last point regarding the verse. The next command that we have in which comes in verse 110 is seemingly the continuation of the previous one, that وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Overall, this is a general commandment. What the Muslims need to do is أقيم الصلاة, maintaining the prayer, and to give zakat. These are some of the main, or two of the main commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in Islam, different verses. Of course, this does not mean that these are the only two commands that we need to apply in our lives. These are two examples of the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us. One of them is, to a certain level more on the individual level, and that is the connection between the individual and God, which is prayer. And the other one has a social context to it, and that is giving the zakat, which would be considered an obligatory charity. A certain amount of money has got to be given as charity on a yearly basis. Now, these two commandments are made in this verse. This is something that the Muslims need to do. Now, interestingly, I want to focus, because these two commands we did focus on in some previous verses that had these two commandments in them. After mentioning these two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something regarding the latter commandment, and that is to give zakat and give that obligatory charity. They says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ. Any good that you send ahead for your souls, you shall find it with Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah sees best what you do. This is very important. After giving the commandments, the people are reminded that, look, the reason why you're told to do something is because of your own good. You're not going to be benefiting God in any way. This is only benefiting yourselves. You're sending forth something for your own hereafter, for your own eternal life. You're not helping God in any way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you do. Now in the English, they've put the word best to make a difference between seeing, just normal seeing, and the word basira. Basirun bima ta'amaloon, or inna Allah bima ta'amaloon basira, as this verse puts it, is almost like saying that he fully and completely sees and knows about what you are doing. So we should realize that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a commandment to do, there's 2 points that the verse mentions. One is, we're not doing that for anyone but Allah subhanahu, but intending to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not benefiting God. This is going to be benefiting us, and we're sending forth something for ourselves in the hereafter. Now the other thing which is very important, and the end of the verse emphasizes on, is that God sees what you're trying to do. Don't worry about people and if people are considering what you're doing right or wrong. This is something that a lot of us get stuck in and we struggle with. That, you know, we start worrying about what people think of us. It doesn't matter what people think of us. If we're doing what's right, then God knows what we're doing, and that's enough. Because this life is not the true life that we're supposed to have. That comes from the other verses. So, 2 main points are mentioned there after the commandments. One is, we're not helping God, we're only doing it for ourselves. And the second one is, that we should know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything we are doing. Even though some may say, no, this is useless, or what are you doing this for, or whatever they may say, Allah sees exactly what we are doing. Inshallah, in the following session, there's follow-up points that we will try to explain. Join us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سبحانك يا من لا شريك له 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 سبحانك.